Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Hey everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast.
Hypecast.
The show where we get hyped about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I am the other co-host, David Bell.
And we don't have a motherfucking guest today because it's the 4th of July and we're not going to try to make someone come out and record with us on a holiday.
Yeah, we didn't even try to get a guest. And honestly, all right, I just cards on the table. I'm not wearing pants right now recording. Perfect. Me and Tom, we're not in the same room. We're recording remotely. I wanted to make that clear so you're not picturing Tom having to deal with that.
Yep.
My point is that I want to spend my July 4th not putting on pants and watching, I don't know, Stranger Things probably, or playing Red Dead Redemption.
Maybe a little bit both. I don't know.
Maybe a little bit both. Ordering some food. That's how I'm celebrating my freedom. And so, yeah, it was nice to not ask someone to come and do this, but it's also for us, I think.
Yeah, it's mostly for us.
Yeah, I don't have to, like, we put together the doc for trailers and stuff at the last minute. It was nice. It was nice to be like, you know what, we don't have to impress anybody here.
You know what? Whose expectations are we trying to live up to?
Yeah, so yeah, while this is going out tomorrow, we're recording on the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
We just experienced an earthquake.
Yeah.
That was fun. It's like the earth having fireworks.
Yeah, the earth celebrating or letting us know that we're about to crumble. Yeah.
Someone on Twitter pointed out that the movie Independence Day does open with Will Smith feeling an earthquake.
Oh, no, he thinks it's an earthquake.
He thinks it's an earthquake. I'm just saying, I haven't looked at the sky yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I might go outside and read the paper and comically look up and see an alien ship.
See a gigantic alien spaceship. Who the fuck can say?
Yeah. Although that is kind of, that is outdated, isn't it? Because Will Smith would have just checked his phone and saw, like, hashtag aliens. And would have assumed it had to do with the movie. This is I'm deviating.
We got real far afield here.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess you wanna talk about trailers?
I do. I want to talk about trailers.
That's why we're here.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to talk about trailers, bro.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm very excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
Our first trailer is Jumanji.
Jumanji: The Next Level. I am here for this.
Yeah. I think the moment they were like The Rock as Danny DeVito, I was like, okay.
Played Jumanji. And then they up the ante by giving us Kevin Hart as Danny Glover.
Yes. A couple of Dannys. This is one of those moments when they started the trailer that I felt dumb not realizing what the potential of these movies are, which is that you can have The Rock playing different characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought at first, like, oh, are these even going to be just a brand new set of kids? Because it could have been.
It could have been, yeah.
I kind of think they should have gone all in and shown, like, a retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
And they get the game. And it's all old people. I know they didn't do that because they need, like, a bridge from the first one to the second.
Yeah.
But I would have loved just, like, Ian McKellen in there and, like, just all old actors.
Yeah.
that who, you know, shoot for what I assume is like an afternoon, because I, you know, Danny DeVito isn't in most of the movie because he's
right
in
he
the Rock,
inhabiting the body of Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
So yeah, I
mean, this the first one was delightful.
Yes, it was.
Welcome to the jungle. I mean, the first one is delightful as well. So I'm fine. I'm on board with this. I'm on board with this series.
Yeah, I am, because I think it was the perfect thing to reboot, because it's like, so who gives a shit about Jumanji? Nobody? All right, let's make a really fun fucking movie about it. And it's like, it's not, it's just, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's delightful. So yeah, I don't know. I have nothing bad to say about it. I enjoyed the first one. Mm-hmm. I'm sure this is going
to be fine. As soon as the first one was over, I was like, I'd like to see more of these.
Yeah, one Jumanji, one more Jumanji, please.
Yeah, I'll have another Jumanji. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, there's not much to say about it. It looks fun. It looks funny. It's all the same people, so it should be good. There's no reason for me to anticipate that this movie won't be fun.
No, there's no they shouldn't be able to fuck this up, right?
I mean, they can always fuck something up, but
yeah, like, I guess.
Yeah. Just do more of the same.
Just do more of the same. It's weird to Yeah, it's weird to say it, because it's like it feels kind of mediocre, that idea.
In a way, but if you're doing an adventure comedy, it's like, well, then just do more adventure and jokes.
Yeah, I think I compare these to the National Treasure movies, where it's like, you know, sometimes movies just have to be kind of dumb and fun.
Yeah.
And like, they can just do the same thing over and over again. And this is what Jumanji can be. Mm-hmm. I think that's how they would make a mistake, is if they're like, let's elevate Jumanji. Let's bring it to the next level.
No, don't elevate it. Like,
which is literally the fucking title. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If they try to be more, that would be the problem. But this looks like fun.
Yeah, there's still plenty of stuff you can... Like, they did some clever things playing with the idea of being in a video game in the first movie. There's still plenty more stuff you can do with that idea. So it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, just more jokey adventure, please.
Oh, what if they did Jumanji Online?
Oh, no!
Like, yeah, and like a bunch of people from different areas.
Just a bunch of trolls.
Yeah, and they're all like competing each other. That's dark. Then it becomes Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Jumanji. If only one group survives. I mean, I want to see that. It wouldn't work for the Jumanji brand. I just want to see video game Battle Royale. Did you hear about this movie that's coming out, by the way?
Knives Out?
No. I'm sort of deviating.
Oh.
Because I was in Massachusetts recently, and they're shooting a movie in Worcester. Worcester, Mass. With mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds. And oh shit, I forget what it's called. Someone knows. It's about a guy who realizes he's an NPC in a open world game, and it's like a GTA game. So I think the Tatums, I think Tates is in it.
Ooh.
The Taters, someone else that isn't Ryan Reynolds, but Ryan Reynolds plays like a bank teller he slowly realizes he's an NPC, which is a great premise.
That's
and
a good
I'm
idea.
Very
that's,
excited.
That's a horror movie.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be, I think they're gonna do something fun with it, and like the I saw, like, because they're filming in Worcester, there's all these sets of like, it has some generic name of like Liberty City or something, like where they changed all the cop cars to that, mm-hmm. and like I don't know, I'm very curious about that.
Yeah,
I wish I remembered the name. Anyway, next trailer, which you briefly mentioned, Knives Out.
Mm-hmm.
Tom,
I'm into this.
It's Clue. It's another Clue.
Well, it's an Agatha Christie mystery.
Is it?
Well, yeah. It's the same. You know, it's And Then There Were None. It's Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh,
it's,
yeah, yeah, yeah. A murder
I thought
you meant it's like literally something.
Oh, that... No. It's just it's that classic Agatha Christie mystery construction where it's a cast of characters that are captive in one location and one of them is a murderer.
Yeah, I think I've talked about this before. Murder mysteries are one of my favorite genres.
Yeah,
and there should be more.
We get so few of them nowadays.
Yeah, and there should be more. I love fucking Gosford Park Fucking The Murder on the Orient Express. It wasn't great, but I liked it. Fucking Clue. Mm-hmm. Fucking Clue.
Fucking Clue. They're making another. They're making the sequel to The Orient Express. They're doing Murder on the Nile or Death on the Nile.
Ooh.
With Kenneth Branagh coming back with that goddamn face full of mustache.
Yes. I want his mustache to come alive.
Yeah.
And like crawl around.
His mustache is holding like a magnifying glass and wearing a deerstalker cap and investigating.
But this is, all right, this is Rian Johnson doing it, mm-hmm. which makes me very happy.
Yep.
I liked his work. I like his early work. I think I liked his Star Wars, although, I mean, I'm sure we've talked about this. There's issues with the Star Wars in general.
Yeah.
I like him as a director.
Most of what he's done, and I like him.
Yes. But it's nice to see a smaller scale movie with him again. Daniel Craig is
in there? I was
going to
say, smaller scale of sorts. The cast is incredible.
Well, that's what I like, is like, this is clearly a movie that the cast was, everybody wanted to be a part of.
Yeah.
You got a plumber in there.
Yeah, Christopher Plummer, Jamie Lee Curtis. Lakeith Stanfield, Michael Shannon, Chris Evans.
Michael Shannon.
Fucking Michael Shannon.
I'm also very happy to see Chris Evans getting right back into it. Because I have that, you ever have that fear about the Avengers people that they're all going to be Shatners? And there's nothing wrong with Shatner except for his Twitter presence, but
his toxic Twitter presence.
Yeah, where like I think a good alternate to Shatner is Bruce Campbell, who again still works, but he's got that where he's like a personality and he's on Twitter and he's not a dick. My point is that, or like any Star Trek person, where again, not to criticize those people, I love them all. They have fine careers, they've done other things, but where they're defined by this, just that one fucking role.
Yeah.
And with Chris Evans, it's kind of hard not to be, right?
Yeah. He could like go back to doing what he had been doing before the Avengers, which are like comedic roles and stuff.
Not
like
another
that.
Teen movie. Nah, he could do a sequel to movie. He could do a sequel to Cellular.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants that.
Yeah, definitely. The public has been demanding it for 10 years now.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, is I look at his career and I think like it reminds me of Shatner, and that Shatner did other things, but it was like all that other stuff was like, yeah, that was fine. He was good. But he's Shatner. I'm wondering if Chris Evans is going to be, 60 and like still making Captain America gags and stuff like that, and like going to the conventions or whatever. Like, I'm not saying, again, it's not a bad thing. I just think he's a good actor, and I want more. I want him to keep doing stuff.
Well, this is him.
And
doing
I
stuff.
Feel like, yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm really happy to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because him more than the other actors, I think. Because like the Ruffalo, like he did other. He's like in like Robert Downey Jr.
Both those guys have a couple
Scarlett
of
Johansson.
Oscar noms under their belts. Scarlett Johansson, I think, as well.
Chris Evans is one of the ones that's like, he just started in this place.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to see him like kind of. I get the same of Daniel Craig too, because I loved him in Layer Cake. I loved him in Road to Perdition, but then Bond sort of took over his career.
Yeah.
And so it's like nice to see these actors like, okay, get back on track here as an actor, because I think they're good, and I think we're going to get good stuff out of them.
Yeah, for sure. And this movie looks fun.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this movie. I think I'm more excited for this movie than I am most movies coming out.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
The only thing I take slight umbrage with is the fact that it, and I know the filmmakers don't have much to do with this. This is all marketing, where they're like, it's a whodunit, like no one's ever done it. I'm like, oh, like a comedy, Agatha Christie mystery, nobody's ever done that.
You're right. Yeah, the marketing. Rian Johnson, when he tweeted out, he's like, there's some shit in this trailer I wish they didn't put in. But here it is, you know?
Yeah, man.
That always happens.
Control. Yeah.
Yeah. That said, he didn't say it spoiled anything. He was just like, there's some moments I was hoping you guys would get to see in the theater for the first time, not in the trailer.
Yeah.
But it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I do think more directors should have control over their trailers. Yeah, you imagine how great trailers would be if we did that again?
The Alien trailer. The fucking Shining trailer.
The Shining trailer. Yeah. Those are the ones that are right up on the top. Yeah. But yeah, Knives Out. Fucking check out the trailer.
It's gonna be good.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Next trailer, I didn't know this was coming out. It's Driven.
Yeah, it's a movie about John DeLorean, specifically John DeLorean getting arrested for basically laundering a bunch of like $30 million of coke money.
What was the other John DeLorean film called?
I think it, wow, what was it called? Something John DeLorean. It was like Framing John DeLorean or something.
That's what I'm wondering. Is it Framing John DeLorean? Because that's what I thought it was. Yeah, Framing John DeLorean. I feel like this movie was named that first because it's literally about, well, it's not about framing him, but you know, it's about the idea of like, it's about a guy wearing a wire to catch John DeLorean.
Yes.
And I wonder if it was called something like Catching John DeLorean or so. I don't know. My point is that the title is called Driven, which feels like a backup title. Where like,
right. Just do a quick search of the title Driven on IMDb. There are so many things called Driven.
Yeah. This movie in general feels like they're sort of sneaking it out. It's got Jason Sudeikis in it, and he's great.
Yeah.
It just feels like that other DeLorean movie came out and the studio got scared or something. Because I just haven't seen much press for this. And the title seems to be a title that's like so generic that they want to like hide it.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
I don't know.
Are you looking forward to this? Do you think it's going to be good?
I mean, I'll watch this. I think it's John DeLorean. I think we talked about this when we talked about the Framing John DeLorean weird docudrama that came out with Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
He is a simultaneously fascinating and hilarious character to me because he is, if the 1980s became a man.
Right.
Everything you know, like every cliche of the 1980s is just John DeLorean. So I am wondering why we don't have more movies about him.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, there's a lot of toxic shit around Alec Baldwin, but if you're going to get anybody to play John DeLorean, the Alec Baldwin version, that makes so much sense.
Makes a lot of sense. I like coming at it from this angle, though.
Yeah. Well, this one seems less cartoony, I guess. Although he does seem like a straight up fucking villain in this one.
Kinda. But I mean, he wasn't a good guy. Like I like it coming from the angle of people trying to bring him down.
Yes.
That's more interesting to me. Like I don't need a sympathetic look at John DeLorean.
No, you know, definitely like, not. I don't think the other one, the framing one, I don't think it actually is.
No, I don't suspect it is either, but
I think they're doing like the Jinx, but
what I'm saying is I don't know. There's value in doing a character study of a person, of a figure like John DeLorean, but I also want to see, like, you run the risk of getting lost in, like, no, let's look at what this person actually did and what their effect was and how they damaged people around them. Let's not forget that.
I guess right now, I think I don't care about John DeLorean. Like, I'm waiting for a movie to show me. Like, I care enough to see a movie about him, but I don't know a lot about him. And so I'm sort of waiting for a movie to show me why I should care.
This might be a fun one to watch. He's more like a, I don't know. To me, he's just like an interesting, he's interesting because it's just like, it's so like a cartoonish series of events.
Yes. I think I need it to be like I, Tanya. That was another case where I was like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know the story of Tanya Harding, but I didn't think about it that much. And I was like, I don't care. And then I finally watched that movie and I was like, this is fucking great.
Film, yeah.
Yeah, this is terrific.
This is a near
Margot Robbie.
Film.
Yeah, Margot Robbie's fucking great. It made me care about it of like, here's a fucking story that you might not have known all the details of. And here's that story. And I'm sure it's not completely true, but they sort of pointed out
they
as they
kind of deal with that as they're the way that movie is made is great.
Yeah.
So that's our review of Driven. Go watch I, Tonya.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe Driven's good. I don't know.
It fucking might be. I don't know, man. Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, he's great.
Like Sudeikis. A Lee Pace.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
Next one, this next trailer has been out for a while, and I think I forgot to put it on the doc before.
Yeah.
The Farewell.
Yeah. This is an interesting film.
Yes, I think this is going to be a good movie. I've seen a little bit of buzz about it. This is about, it's a woman going home because her grandma is dying and no one's telling the grandma.
Right. It's like the whole family has decided it's best not to tell the grandmother that she's dying of cancer.
Yeah, it's got that real, it's checking off all the boxes for a good indie film where it's like, oh, it's kind of funny and it's also dealing with death and grief and it's I guess quirky but not in a way that's like Garden State, you know? Like it
right.
doesn't feel
it's,
like
it's very it's a very I mean, it's from a Chinese filmmaker, Lulu Wang, and it's an all Chinese cast, so it deals a lot with like tradition and family culture.
Right.
It looks really, it looks really good.
Yeah, it seems like it's coming from a personal place.
Yeah,
and it just I don't know, man. It just looks. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird because indie films are always that thing where you're like. Like, I think there's always that problem marketing indie films. Like, you go to an indie theater, it's all, like, old people. Because that's just the people who go watch Philomena, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then when you watch them, you're like, this is a really fucking good movie. It's really entertaining. And, I mean, we've talked about it before. It's just some indie films are just dealing with emotions. They're usually the movies that make me feel the most of any other type of movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting that great feeling from this where it's not it's not Garden State, like it's not Little Miss Sunshine, where we were having this like where indie films felt like they were being churned out.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah,
where they were like formulaic for indie films. This just looks like a really good decent film,
and it's like navel gazing like upper middle class to wealthy white people.
Right.
Like Garden State's not a, I don't know.
Well, yeah, that is a problem with indie films in general too.
Yeah.
There was just that whole thing where it's just like a poster that's all yellow with a bunch of white people on it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what's it called? Helvetica. Like font. I think it's Helvetica.
Mm-hmm.
Like where it's just, they all look so church. Garden State's one where it's like, man, I haven't rewatched that in a while, but I just remember watching and being like, oh, so you're trying to make The Graduate, huh?
It's a tough watch.
It's a tough one. I don't know why I whipped out Garden State when talking about this. This is nothing like Garden State.
No.
I think my point is that this is like a good emotional indie-looking movie that doesn't make me want to roll my eyes.
Well, it's, yeah, and it's... It's infinitely more relatable than Garden State is.
Yes.
Like Garden State is such a specific thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what, bringing up Garden State was a mistake.
I don't know how Garden State played into this. It doesn't play. It's nothing like this
nothing
movie.
Like Garden State.
In fact, I don't even know if this is an indie film. It's just a drama. It's just a drama. It's good. It looks good.
I mean, it had all the laurels. I mean, it was a Sundance film. So
oh, okay.
I assume it's indie.
It's just one of those movies that I think people should be just as excited for this as
they
are.
Yeah, it's an A24 film.
Yeah. Yeah. You know the deal.
Mm-hmm. You guys know what the fucking score is.
Yeah. I put this next trailer in not because I want people to see it, just because it's what the fuck's happening.
Mm-hmm.
This is a trailer for, I think, the Italian live-action Pinocchio.
This is the second Italian live-action Pinocchio film that Roberto Benigni has made.
That's why I put it in.
He this played Pinocchio in the first one.
Now he's playing Geppetto
now he's
in
playing
this one.
Geppetto.
And guys, it's horrifying both times.
Yeah. It's off-putting and strange and horrible.
Yes. That Pinocchio looks horrifying. He's like...
There's like a dog man. There's a dog man.
Yep. General rule. Don't make a live action Pinocchio ever.
No.
He's scary.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment they whipped out Roberto Benigni is just like, oh, dude. Remember when you were like making good movies?
You did this 20 years ago, bro, and it didn't work out then either.
Yeah, remember when you were making like, what was it, The Monster and Life is Beautiful?
Il Mostro, like, yeah.
Yeah, like, come on, man. You can do this.
Yeah,
man. I love Life is Beautiful. The idea of saying, I'm going to make a comedy about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And then doing it and then people watching it and being like, this worked out. Like, that's fucking crazy.
This is pretty good.
Yeah, this is a great comedy about the Holocaust.
It's not like The Day the Clown Cried or whatever that Jerry Lewis was.
Yeah, because it treats the Holocaust like the Holocaust. That was the secret. It's showing that it's horrifying. That movie. I gotta watch that again. There's some fantastic moments in that movie that I feel like apply to today, which is a depressing thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now he's just doing Pinocchio's.
Like the first time around, it began with a terrible idea. It's like, I know, let's have an adult man play Pinocchio. It's like, all right, here's a couple of issues with that.
Yeah.
And now it's like a wooden boy.
Horrifying.
It's this movie. It's just some kind of 10-year-old homunculus. This is a terrible idea. this film looks hideous.
I might see it.
We might have to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. We might have to like do it on Patreon movie night.
We had to force
and just
everybody
punish
to watch
everybody.
It. Yeah. You're gonna watch.
Yeah.
We're gonna watch Roberto Benigni's Pinocchio. Which one?
Both.
Both of them.
Back to back.
That should be four and a half hours.
Yeah, let's have a Pinocchio night.
Mm.
Yeah, I think if you made this without Roberto Benigni, if we made an American Pinocchio, which I'm sure is happening as we speak.
Probably.
I think that will also be horrifying.
Yeah.
I think there's no way to not make Pinocchio horrifying. He is a Chucky doll.
That's why there's been so many horror movies about dolls coming to life and killing people. It's because we don't like it.
Yeah, and if a doll comes to life and is like, I want to be a real boy, that's horrifying.
Set it on fire. Set it on fire if that happens.
I'm gonna wear your flesh like a real boy.
Right, because it could mean anything. It could mean anything when it tells you it wants to be a real boy. So just kill it before it gets the chance.
Yeah. Geppetto should have, the moment that thing came alive, he should have just been like, and like smashed it to death with a hammer.
Shoved it into his furnace.
And then fairy godmother or whoever did it is just like, what are you doing? He's like, it came alive. And she's like, I did it for you. And it's like, why would you do that for me? Why would you do that for anybody? You fucking sick.
You're a lonely old man who can't conceive life on his own.
Then maybe he shouldn't have a kid. Also, I know that I feel like we covered this at Cracked, but Geppetto shouldn't have a kid.
Mm-mm. He's way too old to have children.
That story.
He's gonna be dead by the time that kid is like 10.
Yeah, that's a story of an old man kidnapping a child and calling him a puppet or something. So we should probably move on.
Mm-hmm. Let's get away from this.
Let's get out of Pinocchio. Let's get away. All right, we're on to news stories. And speaking of Disney things, Halle Bailey is
Halle
her name?
Bailey, yes.
Yep. Has been cast as Ariel.
Mm-hmm. In the live-action Little Mermaid movie that they have been struggling to make for like five years now.
I don't know anything about her. All I know is I saw a picture of her, and I thought two things. I thought, oh, she looks like a mermaid. That's great. And then I thought what happened, which is, oh, white people could be very angry.
Yeah, white people are going to hate this.
She looks fucking fine. She's a singer, right?
Yeah, I didn't know who she was either. She's a Disney Channel star. She's a singer, so that checks out.
That's fucking great. Well, the point is
you want a singer to play Ariel.
Yeah, well, it's one of the few Disney plots where singing actually matters. Like in The Lion King, they're just singing for, I don't know, because I guess lions sing.
Well,
but
I mean,
the
cause,
mermaid...
Because it's a musical, you deliberately dance.
I'm just saying that in The Little Mermaid, right. She's specifically a good singer, and the whole thing is her voice.
Yeah, it's part of the plot, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like, yeah, you cast a singer for that.
Mm-hmm. Or you cast Russell Crowe in Les Miserables.
Yes. Yes, you sure do.
He fucking Shatners his way through that. It's so good.
Why did that happen? That must have been like a subcasting director.
He's,
like,
well,
this
I mean, he's
funny.
He's great for the part in concept. He's great.
He's a
solid
great.
Choice for Javert. But like,
yeah.
Oh, can Russell Crowe sing? Well, he's in a band. But can Russell Crowe sing?
No.
Kind
no,
of? We can make it work. Like, we can make it work.
Yeah. Oh. But I don't care about
really,
these white people.
I don't
angry.
Care. I don't care about the, these
here's
fucking
the thing.
Disney reboots. But I'm you know.
Oh yeah.
I hate these Disney live action reboots with the Fire of a Thousand Suns. Although I really I enjoyed Aladdin has taught me some lessons. One they can be. Like we talked about in our We Just Watched, like the film itself doesn't have to be cynical. Like it can
exactly.
be made not cynically.
No, and it's the process. Even The Lion King might be a good movie.
It might be.
It's just the, and it's a fucking great cast.
It's solid cast, yeah.
And they're trying. Like they seem to be, like the individual filmmakers are trying. It's more like the overall order from up top that Disney was like, we're doing this.
Right. That the idea of that is cynical. But the other important
they're
thing,
making a live action Nightmare Before Christmas. What the fuck is wrong
Jesus
with them?
Fucking Christ. They realize that Nightmare Before Christmas is technically live action.
Yes, but
do
I think
they not?
Yeah. I think all right, here's what it comes down to mm-hmm. is it's like looking at a painting and being like, I'm going to make a photograph of that painting. It's like, oh, you've made a version that's taken away the art.
I see.
I mean, photography is art too, but
that's called a slide, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, no. Like recreating a painting.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay.
It's just
restaging
like
staging it and making it a photograph.
It's that's what it feels like is that these movies were, they should make, if Disney wants to do fucking anything to make money off of our nostalgia, if they really wanted to, they need to look at things like Stranger Things and be like, why did that work? It worked because it's a thing in the style of what we knew as kids, and it's also a fun story, and they should just make animated movies again.
That
because
would be nice.
I think that would it would do really well.
Yeah.
Right now, I think parents who are like fans of The Lion King and Aladdin would see a new animated movie done in the same style and be like, I'm fucking taking my kids to that. That looks great. It's just hard work.
It is. I mean, it's I don't know that it's any more difficult than animating an entire continent full of animals with a computer.
Well, I think computers,
I think it might be. I'm not sure.
You don't have to animate every frame anymore.
Correct.
That's
yeah.
That's
the
how
computer,
that's
the computer
why,
can do a lot of it itself.
Yeah, this is why, I mean, these companies are going to CG more and more for kids movies. It's just, it's an easier way to shit out kids movies.
The other point I wanted, the other thing that Aladdin has taught me is that they can take these old, you know, representation is very, very important for children. So they can take these old films they've already put out and just be like, not have them full of white people.
Yes.
Because that's important
nice.
For kids.
And that's nice. And that's the thing about the idea of people being like, oh, Ariel should have red hair and be white.
Yeah, fuck you.
Well, like I get the principle, like in a vacuum, the idea of being like, I want this character I grew up with to be like what I grew up with. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, well, you already got that.
Yeah, you got
in
that.
The cartoon.
You have that one.
Yeah, you got that. And let's do another version. And that is the best part of all of these Disney things is like the casting and seeing what they can do to update it. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't know. I think the people who are angry about this, I think we're going to get another like a Star Wars situation where when the dust settles, it's going to be like three people on Twitter.
Yeah.
With like 100 followers.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm just like, yeah, who gives a fuck about these racists?
Yeah, who cares?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and they are. That's the other thing, is saying what I was saying of, like, people wanting to be represented. That's not what's happening, because, like, people have already dug in, like, the main Twitter accounts of people complaining. Then when you dug into the Twitter account, it's just like, oh, they're just a racist. Like, well, this is just a racist person.
Well, and the main one that got retweeted was a bot.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So it's just like, who gives a fuck about them?
Well, the thing that
Halle Bailey looks like, she looks like a fucking mermaid. I don't know.
She's going to fucking sing her ass off.
Who
cares? It's going to be great. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if it'll be great. They've been trying to make this movie for 5 years.
Again, they should spend this money on a cartoon instead.
Yeah.
It's sort of the same with the like, it's the same feelings of, like, when the all women Ghostbusters came out. Mm-hmm. It was just like, well, no, why shouldn't there be all women Ghostbusters? But also, there shouldn't be Ghostbusters.
Right. Like the
it's that, where it's like,
the cast was not the reason that movie wasn't good.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, I don't care. Like, that's great. That's great that they're changing it up for the cast of fucking Little Mermaid. But also, maybe let's not do it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I know Melissa McCarthy might be Ursula.
I think she is.
Okay.
Like, that was a couple of days ago, that. So they're like, pushing this into production. They're casting this film.
Right. But also, again, it's very conflicting, because also this movie isn't for me. I don't feel like I need to have an opinion on The Little Mermaid.
I mean, I liked it growing up.
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
But, you know, whatever.
No, they should figure out why Prince Eric finds a naked mute on the beach and was like, hey, let's get together. Like, it's weird. He's weird.
A little.
From what I remember.
No, he's honestly one of the better Disney princes.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he a gentleman?
Yeah. I think he's one of the first that actually has a name, too.
Okay. You excited to see a photorealistic lobster?
Can't wait to see that photorealistic
sing?
Sebastian the crab.
Yeah. I'm going to see a terrifying flounder.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They've cast Flounder as well.
Who's Flounder?
Jacob Tremblay.
Okay.
That little boy from The Predator.
Oh, good. Okay. It's going to be, can't wait to watch a fish with a child's voice, like some sort of nightmare.
Oh, and I think, oh, shit.
Like I'm Tony Soprano having a nightmare.
I think Awkwafina is Scuttle. I have to check now.
Okay. This is all, I don't think fish sea creatures are cute. Again, I don't think this should be fucking, this is exhausting.
Yeah.
Movies are exhausting.
Yes. Okay. That definitely, yeah. Melissa McCarthy's Ursula, Awkwafina is Scuttle. And then we have Halle Bailey as Ariel and Jacob Tremblay as Flounder.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I mean, Disney's got to get shit together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the bar, like me saying like, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine, is me like settling.
Right. Like,
it's like,
yeah,
I've had
like,
a kid
like,
who's
it was,
a,
it was such a knee jerk response that I had to correct myself when I said it a minute ago. It's like, well, no, I have no idea whether or not the film would be any good.
Right.
I don't have a problem with the casting is my point.
It's just like, it's like having a kid who's like a disappointment and I'm like happy about the small good things they did. And where is that? Where it's like, Disney, I'm overall just so disappointed in what you've done.
You didn't murder a guy. That's great.
Yeah. Great job, buddy. You only robbed him.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, Aladdin was great. I really enjoyed Aladdin. But Beauty and the Beast was hot, steamy trash. And
right. And again,
the casts of both films were pretty good. So it's like, who the fuck can say, man?
Yeah. Like, all I know is that I'm exhausted by these.
Yeah, I'm very tired.
Speaking of, like, things that I don't know if we need, they got a director for the Lord of the Rings series on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's
first two episodes.
Oh, is that it? It's J.A. Bayona. He did The Orphanage.
Name. The Orphanage, that's right.
Good, right?
Yeah,
then he did
bad.
A Monster Calls, which I don't know. It looked good.
Oh gosh, he's Fallen
and
Kingdom,
then
isn't he?
He's Fallen Kingdom. Which I'm gonna say this about Fallen Kingdom is that it didn't look bad, I guess. For a movie that was a fucking nightmare.
I can't even say that. Everything about that movie was bad. That is
one of the
worst films I have ever seen.
Yes. It's not bad in the way that, like, I'll rewatch Jurassic Park 3, because I'm like, this is fun bad.
Fallen Kingdom again.
Never watching it again. It was so boring and just nonsense.
And bad.
And bad.
Just bad.
So that doesn't reflect on this. Because he's just directing the first two episodes.
Well,
he's
clearly,
not the showrunner.
Clearly he has experience with creature effects and visual effects. And
So, fucking whatever. I don't know. I'm curious to see what this Lord of the Rings series is.
Sean Astin came into Collider a month or two ago, and he said that a lot of the cast from the film is going to have cameos in the show.
That's delightful.
I guess we'll see Sean Astin.
It's
show
canon.
Up somewhere.
It's canon. Yeah. Do we know when it takes place?
I don't know. I don't know if they're redoing the trilogy, or I'm not sure what the show is.
That would
be
if they redo the trilogy with cameos from the cast. Because that's the one thing I could see they do. Like, watching all the Peter Jackson director's cut extended Lord of the Rings, it could still be longer, probably.
There's stuff they leave out. But, that's a thing. Like, we were talking about The Hobbit in the We Just Watch we just recorded. So it was earlier for us, but Lord knows when you guys listen to it. There's a problem with... I don't know. Like, I enjoy the Shadows of Mordor game, the first one, but it's tough to live in the Lord of the Rings universe because the main story of Lord of the Rings is the biggest, most epic battle for the fate of the world.
Yes.
So it's like, I think I can't care about literally anything else that happens in this world.
I think what the mistake people are making about Lord of the Rings is that Star Wars happened. And the fans started doing the EU, the extended universe, and there was this realization that was like, we can tell a million stories in this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, the first three Star Wars are like the fate of the galaxy, but not in a way that felt like it really just like blowing up planets, which is a big deal.
It was toppling. It didn't have the same...
It was toppling...
Toppling an oppressive regime. It didn't have the same, in Finality. Lord of the Rings, the world of men is at stake.
And it was so creepy and cryptic. And I think the mistake that's being made now is thinking that this is a world that we can live in and tell different stories.
I don't think you can in Lord of the Rings.
I don't think you can, but I think the reason we think that is because we kind of do, and it's just called the fantasy genre.
Dungeons and Dragons has the benefit of not... I mean, Dungeons and Dragons obviously is directly based on and influenced by Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
But it doesn't have the same handicap. Like, it does... It's not attached to this one big event and big story with all the major characters involved.
I think that's the problem. I think they don't realize that.
Yeah.
Because I think they look at fantasy and they're like, look at all these fucking movies that take place in this universe. And it's like, no, not specifically the Lord of the Rings. If Amazon was smart, they would have made a Dungeons and Dragons series. Because that is meant to be episodic. That can go anywhere. It's the world itself is good. And then they could connect characters and do all sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah, and then you get into the Lord of the Rings planes of existence and all these other realms.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot going on in D&D.
Yeah. And so, Lord of the Rings is just a very specific story that we're interested in.
In a very specific, kind of small continent.
Yeah.
Because it was Tolkien inventing history for England.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might be okay. I have no idea what the show is going to be. So
yeah, I mean, it could be great if they're just doing a longer Lord of the Rings, because that was one thing we all had to accept. Lord of the Rings series, I fucking love those movies.
We just rewatched them like a month ago. They're fucking great.
Yeah, but I remember while watching it, like, oh, this isn't the last we're going to see of these. It was one of those things we've all thought about, that it's just like, oh yeah, come 10 years. The rate we've been remaking stuff, we're gonna see more Lord of the Rings. They're gonna remake it.
I don't know if I had that thought then.
Well, it's a problem because it's like they shouldn't. Part of me is like, of course they're going to.
Like, yeah, I mean,
just like,
yeah.
But I think It's one of those things where I hope it's the same where in the back of my head, I think that with Back to the Future is that one day some producer is going to be like, you know what we haven't done? Let's do Back to the Future. But there's sort of a reason we don't, because there's certain movies I think make such a big splash that they seem untouchable and they kind of should be.
Like
Citizen Kane.
Yeah. There's a
Wizard
reason.
Wizard of Oz.
That's true. There's a reason, a very specific reason why Back to the Future, Jaws, E.T.
Well,
haven't been remade.
Zemeckis. I know Zemeckis is like As Long as I Live. And Spielberg's the same.
Well, who produced Back to the Future?
Right, yeah.
It's all Spielberg.
And it's all Spielberg, and good for him for doing that.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is that Lord of the Rings made that splash too, where it's like, this movie is a piece of art. It's a classic film.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's one of the few films made in our lifetime that's like a classic.
Yes.
That's going to be around for as long as Citizen Kane is around.
Right.
You know?
It is a masterwork achievement in filmmaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the idea, I think, things have felt less sacred because we remake a lot of things now,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sequel a lot of things, but I feel like The Lord of the Rings is kind of off limits. I think a TV show is the best way to do it, but I still feel like they're like vultures kind of trying to get to a corpse,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, it feels like everybody is like, how do we get more money off of this?
Yeah.
How do we get more Lord of the Rings? Can we remake it? That feels like we can't. Should we remake it? And so this is them being like, let's make a series. Let's see how people like that.
See how that works out.
But this is one of those things where it's like, honestly, they should just be looking for the next Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or making a D&D TV show.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
What's next?
Netflix is reportedly adapting Neil Gaiman's Sandman. I will believe it when I see it.
Also, it is being produced and written by David S. Goyer.
Okay.
Mm. So it's like any enthusiasm you might have immediately takes a bullet to the spine, like Charles Xavier.
Like Charles Xavier, a magnetic bullet. He didn't even bleed in that scene. That was a weird, like, it's like he got a bee sting. Anyway. they've also just been trying to make Sandman for
right. How many aborted Sandman attempts has there been?
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know much about Sandman. All I know about Sandman is they're just going to keep telling me they're going to make one. I want it to be the Spider-Man Sandman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want it to be played by what's his face?
In Thomas Hayden Church.
I want that series. I want a Sandman, Thomas Hayden Church, in an old-timey striped shirt,
mm-hmm.
just being Sandman.
Being a robber from the 1960s, uh-huh. but he is Neil Gaiman's Sandman.
Yes. Fuck it.
That's where the character Lucifer comes from, that the TV show is based on. He is the Lucifer from the Sandman comics.
Okay. I believe you. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I feel nothing about this just because of how many false alarms we've gotten.
I think why this is happening is because of Good Omens.
Right.
Gaiman just made a big splash with Good Omens. People are finally probably like, oh, well, that's doing really well. Maybe we should let's look at other Neil Gaiman properties we can make. Oh, Sandman's been in development hell for like a decade or more.
Yeah.
Let's push that across the finish line.
Yeah,
makes sense. And Netflix already has Lucifer, so.
Right.
Although the Lucifer in the TV show does, aside from some details, does not connect in any way to the storyline.
Okay. I was wondering about that.
No, it has nothing to do with his character in the Gaiman stories, pretty much. There's some of the names are similar in the fact that he owns a nightclub. That's it.
Oh, God. Yeah, because if it was similar, I'd be like, okay, now what the fuck is Sandman? Because
I don't
Lucifer
know,
is
like I don't know. I've never read it. This is all stuff I've gleaned from friends of mine who are huge into this series.
Okay.
So maybe it's time to read. I think Cody's read it, right? Cody's a big Sandman guy.
Cody, tell us.
Cody,
I know you're listening.
Cody!
Cody!
I don't think he heard me.
Tell us about Sandman.
Lean out your window. Maybe you'll hear. Maybe he's, yeah. Maybe he's still recovering from the earthquake.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, what's the
final
the
story? This isn't story. A big deal. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark got a PG-13 rating, which yeah. I wasn't surprised.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think this movie is going to wow me.
I'm very curious.
I don't think it's meant. I think it's my first horror movie.
I'm like very curious to see because those books are so. I mean, all of us read them when we were kids,
yeah.
And the art style is so striking and unique. I'm very curious to see how closely they adapt it for the film and
yeah,
and just what the film's going to look like.
Yeah, I think I should be more excited for this because I think they're making it for young adults.
Yeah,
but
that's
and
what the
yeah,
books
that's
are
fine.
For.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It makes sense.
I think my hope for this, I mean, I'm not hoping that this film is going to be scary because it's not, because these stories didn't scare me. My hope is that it's a cool looking horror movie.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, as long as it, yeah, because, I mean, the biggest thing we all remember about this is the
art.
Illustrations.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess from what I've seen in the trailer, it's hard to imitate that art style. It looks good, but it doesn't quite live up to it, I don't think. I don't know. It's a hard art style to fucking imitate. It's
yes.
like it's like the Ralph Steadman drawings from Fear and Loathing, like
very similar, yeah.
Yeah, where you're like, how do you translate that to a movie? And Fear and Loathing Las Vegas, the movie, kind of just got the tone of it, but it doesn't literally look like the drawings. They have to at least try to capture the tone of those drawings somehow. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe they will.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Fucking we'll see. So that's the end of the stories. Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Dave.
Yes, Tom?
Do you have a movie that deserves more hype?
I do, Tom.
Oh, boy. I thought that you might.
Yeah. This is called Deerskin.
Mm.
I don't know when it's coming out. It already premiered at a festival of sorts.
Mm.
It's an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a surprisingly good rating. Guys, this is the writer and director of the movie Rubber.
Mm.
Yeah. If people are unfamiliar with the movie Rubber, it's about a sentient tire who gains the ability to blow people's blow people's heads up.
Yes.
It is a weird movie. It's I enjoy it, but I know why some people don't. It's very,
very
meta.
It's very divisive.
Yes. It's a very meta movie. Like there's characters in the movie that literally are just playing the audience. Like the tire is going around, rolling around. And I love the tire effects, by the way. I know it's a weird thing to say, but like making a tire roll around on camera for extended periods of time, that just seemed impressive to me.
It's difficult.
But it's a tire rolling around and learning the world and becoming sentient. And they keep cutting back to like a group of people in the desert with binoculars watching it. And they're just like, I don't get it. Why are we watching this? And like, they're like commenting on what's happening. So they're clearly like the audience reacting. It's a very weird film. Yeah, it's very divisive. You'll either watch it and be like, this is crap. This is like pretentious crap that I see what it's doing. And I like, it's not like an, I don't get it. This is crap. You're going to watch it and just be like, yeah, I see what you're doing movie. I don't like it. Or you're just going to enjoy it. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Rubber. So this movie, Deerskin, from the director of Rubber, is about a man who gets a really, really cool jacket. Like a leathery cowboy jacket that he really likes with fringes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is just like this dude with like a beard, and he's like kind of a funny guy. The jacket's so cool that it starts talking to him, and it says that he needs to kill, or no, he needs to, it's this jacket's so great that he has to eliminate all other jackets. That's the premise.
Mm-hmm.
And so he starts kidnapping people with other people with cool jackets. And at first is just trying to force them on camera to swear they won't wear their cool jacket ever again. And then he starts killing them on camera instead, because it's an easier way to ensure they won't wear a cool jacket. And he's the only one mm-hmm. with a cool jacket. So that's the film, guys. That's literally the plot of the film. Yeah. And I'm excited for that. Yeah, I can't believe it's got a, such a high rating. It's like maybe 20 reviews.
oh, man.
Yeah, and like the only review I saw, some of the reviews I saw was like, this works better as a short, but they somehow stretched it out. And like the guy who was the cool guy who likes his jacket is apparently he's really good in it. And that's part of why this works.
It's Jean Desjardins.
What has he been in?
The Artist. He's an Academy Award winning actor.
Really?
Yeah, he's the guy from The Artist.
That makes me so happy. This is an Academy Award winning actor with a cool jacket. This director is making just practical jokes. He's just trolling people. And I love that now there's like substantial actors being like, oh yeah, I'll be a part of that.
Yeah.
Like imagine the pitch of this to this actor. Like you're a guy with a real cool jacket. And you're just killing other people with other cool jackets. And
less
that's the
cool
movie.
Jackets.
With less cool jackets.
Your jacket's the coolest.
You have to have the coolest jacket. Yeah. And like the part in the trailer where he's got the jacket on, he's just like, yeah, it's a great jacket.
It's a sweet jacket.
He's not like obsessed with it. He's like someone's dad who got a new jacket during their midlife crisis.
Yeah. Instead of a car, he bought a new jacket.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm just delighted by this.
Yeah. It's probably delightful.
Yeah. Deerskin, everybody. Mm. Deerskin. Check it out.
Well, guys and gals, that's a sode.
That is a sode.
That's a fourth of sode lie.
Well, it's a fifth of sode
fifth
lie.
Fifth of sode lie. We're recording it on the fourth. Yeah. That's a sode.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to, you can head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/gameplayunemployed, where you can get some cool podcasts that we do just as exclusives on there, like Fox Mulder's Maniac and Tom and Jeff Watch Batman. Yeah.
We also have a TeePublic store, teepublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. You can also fucking rate us on iTunes. Or Apple Podcasts or whatever.
Leave us a review.
Yeah, and check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/gamefully_unemployed.
Do that shit.
Yeah, we're fucking everywhere.
We're all over the place, everywhere you turn your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get the hell out of here.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at TheCorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.